We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Good morning, Grinders. Welcome to the DFS pregame show here on Roto Grinders. I'm Jordan Cooper, aka Blenderette, Blender HD. If you want to follow me on Twitter, and it's Thursday, October 6th, and we'll be looking a little bit about NFL. MLB is pretty much over, right? I guess this playoff DFS contests, right? I guess you could play the MLB playoffs. You could. I'm not. Baseball's done for me. Who cares who wins the World Series? Doesn't matter. Are they in my lineups? Then I don't really care, right? That's at least my perspective. But we got NFL. We got NBA is coming back in 2 weeks. That's going to be chaos, right? I'm going to just calm before the storm. Just have a nice 2 week kind of almost relaxation. Like it's all NFL's going on. Of course, I got soccer, MMA, not this weekend, right? Remember, tomorrow, Fridays, typically we cover the MMA slate, but there is none this week. They're off again. I don't know, for whatever reason. Then there's a bunch of weeks in a row where there are events. So tomorrow is just kind of, you know, casual Fridays as usual. But today for Thursday, maybe look about the showdown slate. Maybe look at prize picks a little bit. Answer questions in the chat. You know, I'm always here for you YouTube people. Like the people that listen on the podcast feed or listen or watch later or whatever, you know, you could always show up at 11 o'clock in the morning. Ask anything you want. I see the Wataz says Suki. Okay, Suki Singh. Suki Singh's not showing up as early as Suki normally shows up. But give me those thummy thumbs anyway. Good morning, Doug Montgomery, Bart B, MJC, Matt Mears, Jacory Brazil, Defic, right? New hat, yes. Yeah, I no longer wear the Louisville City FC hat. I also have Racing Louisville FC merchandise. I'm a founding member of both clubs, season ticket holder, canceled all of that. Feel free to Google why one would do so and distance themselves from being a supporter of that club. I support the players. I do not support the ownership. They will not be getting any more of my money at any point. So feel free to go Google the Yates report that they did on women's soccer in the NWSL. And you'll see that our ownership here in Louisville were involved in it. So I'm not supporting it anymore. So I got my DraftKings hat, right? I got this a while ago. I got and it's a fitted one. I love the fitted, you know, that you don't get the snapback, whatever, back there. So this is pretty good. It's a little meshy, right? It could be a little bit harder. But yeah, I got my hat. Probably get a couple of new hats. I just have Louisville City hats pretty much. So, maybe have to get some get on the online shopping and get some new hats. Paul Zahner's here, new grinder here, excited for the content. Yes, thanks for showing up. Give me those thumbs, the subscribey scribes, do whatever you want. Go back and watch old episodes of the pregame show. It's like a lot of this is evergreen content. And then obviously subscribe to Roto Grinders. Become a Roto Grinders premium member, combo premium. You get all the sports, right? You get lineup HQ, you get all the tools that I show on the show. Go get it. Click on that link in the description. Get $10 off your first month. DFIC asks if I'm watching Welcome to Wrexham. It's on my queue. NFL season, look how many shows I do. A lot of times I just don't have the time. And I also have to fit my wrestling in, right? Because I'm watching that all the time also. So, yeah, it's on my list. JWH says maybe substitute a soccer breakdown for the Friday MMA coverage. If you ask, if you show up, JWH, show up. And I could talk about it. The EPL slate, they don't even have prices up. So I have no idea what's going on. So that we can hear a lot of stuff that will all change once we get 45 minutes before the slate starts and then the madness ensues. Yes, that's what soccer is. You could have the projected starting 11s, but an hour before kickoff, then you get the actual starting 11s and, they're most likely will be changes. This guy's in and that guy, they're rotating this, the formation changes. You have to know how to react, an hour before the slate. Let's see. So if you have any questions, feel free to post them in the YouTube chat. I always have stuff like, I could talk about this if no one has anything else to talk about, like Prize Picks. Get on that Prize Picks early. Use the promo code Grinders. First time to bonus $100 deposit match bonus or whatever. I think use the promo code Grinders. You get that. You got to get on these early. I keep on stressing that. There'll be a blitz release show on YouTube on this channel later today. That'll be Cardi and Keith Eister, and they'll be going over some props on Prize Picks and Underdog. And those types of sites, Monkey Knife Fight, using the Blitz projections, which you could get here at Roto Grinders. And that's what I do. I look at that Cardi comes out with initial projections Tuesday night. And then on Wednesday, he makes usage adjustments. I try to find the largest discrepancies I possibly can on Tuesday night and hammer them as much as I can. Some of my stuff is already gone. I think half of my Prize Picks have moved already. Once they move, you're done, right? You want to get the best number, okay? Don't settle for like, oh well, I could get it five. I got it 5 yards too much. It's like, no, get it early, right? What do I have on Prize Picks? I'm not going to ruin like the Blitz release show, right? So you watch that, and hopefully by the time that show comes out, the numbers are still available. But you could just subscribe to the Blitz. It's like I'm not doing anything special. Right, just subscribe to the Blitz, and you see all these statistical projections here, right? Passing yards, receiving yards, rushing yards, right? And you're looking for the largest discrepancies, especially since you need to have a 58% win percentage with the fixed parlays at Prize Picks. And also you have to compensate for the fact that these are means and the betting lines are medians. So you need a little bit even more of a buffer. So like I look here on Prize Picks, and what stuff have I gotten already? I got Damian Pierce at over 60.5, right? He's now up to 65.5. I have the Nick Chubb under 90.5. It's now down to 87.5. What else? What else do I got? Devin Singletary. Oh, I got a good one. Devin Singletary. I got over 40.5. That's what it was on Tuesday night. They bumped it up 11 yards, right? So that's a good one, right? I got Christian McCaffrey over 50.5. He's now up two more yards there. Let's see, one on the receiving that I got. Let's see, what do I got on the receiving end? That's moved. I know that the Seahawks receivers, yes. Lockett, what do I have Lockett at? I got Lockett at 60.5. He's now up to 62.5. I got Metcalf at 55.5, and he's up 5 yards. I got Pitts under 50.5. He's come down 3 yards there. Pickens. I got the good one on Pickens. I got Pickens under 45.5. It's already come down 9 yards, right? So I got DJ Moore over 47.5. He's now up another three yards, which may move even further. I mean, some of these may move even more, right? So that's what I got that's moved already. I got other stuff here as well. I got the Mills passing yards. I got him at 220.5. He's now up 15 more yards, right? I don't want to say anything else that I necessarily have because you need to subscribe to the Blitz, right? Or watch the Blitz release show later today. Whatever Cardi's talking about on the Blitz release show, and he's talking about, oh, the prize picks lean here, you know, they're here on underdog or whatever it is, most likely I already have. I already got, because I'm using his projections. I mean, like, I'm looking at the same exact thing, right? It's not complicated. You don't need to decipher anything. Like, look, you just go to the Blitz page, and you go here. And then once you get on Fridays or something, you'll get, like, pass attempts and the fantasy points, and they'll put up other categories here, right? Because a lot of times they'll leave it up for, like, Thursday night, right? Receptions, right? They're coming out with, like, more Thursday night stuff. But then once Thursday night's done, they come out with some of these other statistical props for the Sunday games. And then just jump on them. Jump on them as early as you can, right? Just compare them to projections, and you're looking for the widest discrepancies, right? Something's off by 2 yards. No, you need to beat it by way more than that, right? And then if the line moves in your favor, that's a good signal. That's called closing line value. Although on props, it is what it is. It's not the most liquid of markets, but it's a sign that if you get the best of the closing line on more of your bets consistently, like, that's just a proven methodology, a proven signal that you're profitable, right? No matter if you don't, you know, hit all of them, right? If you don't go over 58%, you'd be like, well, if I at least beat the line. Like Brandon Cooks last week, I had someone DM me saying, you know, oh, thanks, because I post on Friday. Like, here's all the stuff that I have, and it's all moved, right? Because you got to do this for yourself, okay? And then people just go, okay, they tail me. And they bet all those props, even though they moved. They all moved. And a lot of times they go over anyway, right? So you have a rushing yard prop that moved 8 yards in your favor, and then the guy rushes for 110 yards. So it doesn't even matter, right? Because you have, instead of 60, they got the 68, and he rushed for 120. Right. And then someone's, oh, thanks for posting, whatever. I said, and he said, I got all of them the same as you, other than Brandon Cooks. Right. So Brandon Cooks last week, I had 55.5. And by the time it closed, it was 60.5. And he got 57 yards. Right. So on Friday, people, oh, okay, I'm going to Brandon Cooks over 60.5. It's like, no, you lost that one. I won that one. So, like, you say, oh, I got everything except for that one. And my response, right, is, well, that one on average every week is going to be the difference of why I make money this season and you don't. Like, that's literally all it is, right? Because you're looking for over 58% win rate. So, you're like, you're not going to end the season with, you know, I won 78% of my props. No, you're going to be somewhere hopefully in the 60, 62% range, you're going to be close. So if you could get the best of a number, the best number possible, and on average, you know, get one more than you should on average for 18 weeks in the season, like that's going to be significant. That's going to be the difference between you winning money on the season and you losing money on the season. So do that consistently. Don't contact me Saturday night. What props do you like? Like, you're already late. You're too late at that point. None. I don't like any of them. Right? There's nothing. Unless some big news. Oh, Schefter tweets out that all the Ravens are out. And it's going to be the fans. And now the fan, you know, then you could bet all the unders. Or bet someone else's, their backup's over. Or, you know, like something like that. A lot of times those lines aren't even out. But, you know, Sunday morning, I'm not doing any prop betting. Prop betting I'm doing Tuesday night, Wednesday. Right, I see the news like coming out today. Maybe you know, oh, this guy's out. Maybe I could rush, you know, if they're like, oh, the running back's out, and I could put the unders or overs on the passing game. Like, you could do stuff like that, but you have to react to those really quickly. And you'll see with basketball, like you may literally have less than 60 seconds. Right, some news will come out in basketball. So and so is probably sitting tonight, right? And it's like, oh, if they're sitting, that means this guy, you know, his usage goes up. Like, dude. Sites like PrizePicks and Underdog, they pull those things like very quickly. You can get them in if you're quick enough, but a lot of times they pull them, and then like 20 minutes later, then the new numbers for the entire team come out. But if you can get there quick enough, then you're going to get a lot of closing line value. So that's the name of the game in this. You had the early bird gets the worm. Get all the worms you can. right? And if you're using an origination strategy, you're not waiting for the sportsbook lines to come out. You're not looking at prop lines around the industry at FanDuel or DraftKings or BetMGM and then comparing, oh, the price picks line is off. It's like, dude, it's not going to be off enough. At that point, you need to get them early. Oh, let's see. Anything else in the YouTube chat? Feel free to, I'll talk about anything you want, right? MJC asks, can you briefly talk about why building 1-3 lineups versus 5-150 is irrelevant for success? I know you mentioned this before, trying to better understand how the more lineups doesn't equal better odds. It doesn't equal better odds, right? It doesn't understand the difference between win odds and return on investment. The lottery tickets. Let's use an example. The mega whatever billionaire, whatever lottery, whatever. The Powerball, right? It's a $10 ticket. And you could win $500 million or whatever. Okay? If you buy one ticket, right? You have an X whatever amount of shot. A million to one. Let's just estimate, right? Just yeah, I've got a million to one shot. If you buy two tickets, you have a 500,000 to one shot of winning. But you spend twice as much, right? Your ROI is still the same, right? So, like, if the odds of you hitting are in a million to one, if it's a negative EV bet, having more negative EV bets, yes, it gives you a better shot at hitting it, but you're losing more and more money as you do it. So just piling up negative EV bets, that's, yeah, it, on a small sample size, sure. Imagine in the lottery, if it's a million to one, but it costs you, and it's a million to one to hit, we'll have to say it's even higher than that, right? It's a 50 million to one to hit, but they only pay you $10 million. So if you bought all the numbers, you'd spend $50 million to buy all the numbers, and you know what your odds of winning are? 100%. You would have the absolute best odds of winning if you bought literally every combination of numbers. And let's say that cost you $50 million, but the prize is only $10 million. Okay? So your odds of winning are 100%, and you lose $40 million in the process. So yes, you play a second lineup of a similar EV, yeah, you have a twice as likely shot at winning first place. But you're paying twice as much for it. What is first place? I mean, like, it's a 1-to-1. Every lineup is independently, has an EV independently. So if you're building 150 lineups that are negative EV, you're just losing more and more money, right? Because the expected value is a bad line. I'm going to build 150 lineups that have all injured players in it and backups. Do I have a better shot than you of one good lineup of winning first place? No. My lineups are awful. My lineups have virtually no shot at winning, yet I have more of them. So what are my odds of winning versus your odds of winning? But we don't care about odds. We care about return on investment. If someone was able in the million, let's say in the milli, someone was able to input $1 million worth of entries. $1 million, like what? How many? It's typically a $20 entry. Like, let's say you could put in, one person could put in 50,000 entries. Okay. One person, 50,000 entries. That's $1 million to enter. Typically, the milli has like 250,000 entries in it or something like that. So there's no entry limits, and someone puts in, I'm going to make 50,000 lineups. So I have like 20% of all lineups that are in the contest. You know what my chances of winning first place are? Much higher than everyone else's, because I have a fifth of the goddamn lineups. So just by sheer number, as long as they're reasonable enough lineups, right, I'm going to have a very good shot at winning first place and then losing money. Or if I don't come in first place, I lose money. Like, literally, if I came in second place, I'm down a ton of money if I did that, even playing 50,000 lineups. Because the prizes don't go up the more entries that you put in. You're just spending more and more money. So if you build one great lineup versus someone that builds 10 horrible lineups, you have a higher ROI than they do. They have a better, they have a higher shot at winning, but in the, if you normalize it to a time frame, right, across a lifetime, you end up making more money than they do. Because they're spending more money. They're spending more money, and they're winning first place at a rate at more often than you, but you win from a ratio perspective more often than they do. This is very basic statistics. This is extremely basic statistics. This is middle school statistics. Okay? You put in one lineup. I put in two lineups of the same expected value, and you put in one lineup of the same expected value. My chances of winning this single contest today is twice as much as you. But I pay twice as much. You could pay twice as much also. Right? Of winning, our ROI is exactly the same, though. I will win twice as often as you do. But I also spend twice as much as you do. So picture, you put in one, I put in two. Which means, let's just say, just for the sake of numbers, that I win whatever you consider winning. Maybe this is only a 100-man contest, right? Like, it doesn't have to be the Millie Maker or anything. I put in two, and I win one in every 50 contests. You have the exact same expected value lineup. You win one in every 100 contests, right? It's the same exact expected value of the lineup, but I have two lineups and you have one lineup. So I win every 50 times. You win every 100 times. Do the math. But I'm paying twice as much. So that's, I'm winning twice as often, but after 500 times, 500 contests, I have won, what, 10 times. You have won 5 times. I have to pay twice as much, so our ROI is exactly the same. It's exactly the same. I put in 5 entries. I'll win 5 times more often than you, but I also paid 5 times as much. This assumes that our lineups are equal. With the fact that the field, in general, are weaker in larger field contests, people are putting a lot of bad lineups. So if I play 150 and my 140th lineup is still better than most people's first lineup, I'm taking advantage of that. If I could put in plus EV lineups that are better than average in the field, I'd want to put in more. The person that's putting in one lineup isn't at a disadvantage because of the number of lineups. It's the expected value of that lineup. It doesn't matter what user that's attached to. It just so happens that, especially in the large field contest, there's a lot of people that put one or two entries in that put really bad lineups in. So my 10th lineup is better than their lineup. My 50th lineup is better than their lineup. People that put in three, there are people that put in plenty of bad lineups. So if I could make, if my 150th lineup is still better than 95% of the field, that's why the max people that play 150 lineups do that. That's exactly the reason why they do. Oh, let's see through the YouTube chat. JWH, do you only play 5-man prize picks entries since the implied probability needed to beat goes higher on PP the more legs you add? Now, you can play the 5-man. The 5 flex on prize picks is good. I prefer the 5 power on underdog. Like, if you can do it, obviously the numbers are different. Underdog has different. No, don't pick numbers that are bad. If Prize Picks has over 60 and Underdog has over 65, like, use the Prize Picks number. Don't sacrifice 5 yards for the sake of, you know, oh, their three pick power pays out a little bit more. You'd have to adjust for that. You'd have to see how many yards is worthwhile to give up that. I mean, there's a math. You could do the math on that. But the five picks on Prize Picks are fine. The question is that they have no, like, CSV upload functionality. They have no round robin functionality. You have to put in everything manually on Prize Picks. So if I'm doing 2 pick powers, it's very easy to keep track. Right? It's easy. I could just, like, start from the top. I go and identify, you know, 15, 20 different inefficient lines. I write them all down, and then I start at the top, and I go the first one with the second one, the first one with the third one, the first one with the fourth one, and I have to put them all in manually. It could take me, 20, 30 minutes. Okay, I'm putting Mills is over with the Aaron Jones under. Mills is over with the Chubb under. Mills is over with the Pierce over. And depending on how large the discrepancy, I may change the amounts, right? Some may be $25, some may be $50, some may be $100, depending on how wide the blitz has from the project from the line. And you could do that with two picks because you could just go down the line. I'm gonna pair this one with the other 19. Then once I'm done with that, I pair the second one with the other 18, the third one with the other 17, the fourth one with the other 5th. So like I could have several hundred two picks on Prize Picks, right? Of anywhere from $10 to $50 to $100, depending. It would be better mathematically because of how they pay out the 5-pick flex with the 0.4, that you get a little extra equity to do the 5 picks. Good luck. Keep track. Good luck doing that manually and not entering stuff that is you duplicate, right? You'd be able to then take all these, put it into Excel, extrapolate all the 5-pick combinations, and you're going to be there all day doing it because you have to do it manually. So imagine what's the permutation? It's not a per, what's the combination? Because the order doesn't matter. Of 20 different picks or bets or whatever, in every combination of 5. It's a hell of a lot. And you have to enter that manually. Find the one, pick one, pick two, pick three, pick four, pick five, over, put in the amount, hit. You know how many combinations? Hundreds upon hundreds, tons. Good luck doing that and not screwing up. If there was an upload functionality, if there was a way to do that easier, then yeah, that's exactly what I would be doing. I wouldn't have any problem just going, okay, what's the ID number on the pick? And be able to say, okay, here's a CSV, here's a spreadsheet document that has all of mine on. And I could just put in all these and go, give me all the combinations of 5s and put them in the cells, right? And then just upload that. If I could do that, I'd love to do that. But you can't do that. I don't think they'll ever let you do that. Because the types of people, understand it's kind of a selection bias. If they were to offer that you could upload, CSV upload your picks on Underdog or Prize Picks, the only people that would find that useful are people that they probably don't want their action from anyway, right? Like it's a self-selection issue. So they're not going to do it. No, they want you're on your phone, you're on the toilet, and, oh, I like this guy and I like that guy. The game tonight, oh, I'm going to pick, Russell Wilson's going to throw a lot of yards and this, like that type of stuff. They don't want someone like me. They limit people like me. I don't even know what the limits are. I haven't gotten to it yet, but maybe I've been under the radar because I don't do $500 picks. I'm doing just a series of like $10 to $50 ones. So as of right now, I sometimes hit a daily limit. Like, oh, you could only wager X amount per day. I'd be like, okay, I guess I gotta wait until midnight in order for that to reset or something. Right. So I always have to keep track of that. But I have to expect at some point that it's going to be like, oh, because I've heard other people, they're limited to like max 100 on any pick and max 1,000 winnings on any player. The fact that you max 100, it's like I'm not even betting 100. But maybe that's why I'm staying under the radar, I guess. I have no idea. Because I'm winning doing, all these round robins and stuff for lower amounts. It's amounting to... Right, I could easily have on for this Sunday, $10,000 worth of picks in, but it's over the course of like 20 to 25 different props in all the combinations. Let's see. Michael McDowell, hi. Any advice on making the leap to a simulator tool from using projections and optimizers? I'm not sure what you mean by that. If you're using if you're building your own simulator tool, it will build the line. Like you're not, You're running contest simulations. You'd be programming and the lineups would just spit out and you wouldn't have to do anything. Talk to Daniel Hutchings in here, Nerdy Tenor. He's not sitting there going, I want this of this and this. No, just like he just runs it through a program and spits out lineups and enters them. He may not know how much of anything that he has. Let's see. Mike B asks, is tennis somewhat similar to MMA minus the extreme scoring? I guess so. I don't play tennis DFS, but I'm assuming it's binary. I assume it's bimodal, right? Someone wins and someone loses, right? I don't know tennis scoring that. I don't play tennis DFS, but I have to assume that it's very hard for a losing player to be in a winning lineup, unless it's like all the big favorites win by a lot and have a lot of aces and stuff. And all the favorites win on a slate, and you need the highest scoring underdog. Just like MMA. That happens in MMA sometimes. So I would figure that the tennis scoring in DFS is quite bimodal. If a men's tennis player wins 6-0, 6-1, 6-1, they probably scored a lot of points. And the other person probably didn't score that many points, right? They only won two games and three sets. That's what I would assume. I have no idea. Like I said, I don't play tennis DFS. Baker Helton asks, I know you like to find the weakest opponents. Are there any small to mid-sized single entry or three-match DPPs that you played or would recommend? No. I prefer to play less than 10 lineups a week, but a lot of the mid to high stakes smaller field contests seem to be filled with the top pros. Yeah, you then play the large field stuff. You could do that. Download the CSVs and see for yourself. There's no such thing as like, oh, this is where all the weak people play. In general, it will be the large field contests, okay? The easiest contests are the Millie Maker in NFL is the softest contest in all of DFS, the Millie Maker. The issue is it's extremely top heavy, and to realize your EV will take you like 400 lifetimes. Like that's the only problem. That's the only issue with it. But from an expected value standpoint, you're playing against the rake is paid easily by lineups that have like no shot at all, right? And then you have plenty of min cash type of lineups. Like in the Millie Maker, it's quite possible that you could put together some very reasonable, like you don't have to do any galaxy brain anything. You don't have to calculate much. You're like, well, I don't want to play all the chalk, but I also don't want to like fade all the chalk. You build a lineup, it's going to be better than like 40% of lineups in the contest automatically already. Like you could just barely look at the slate and still be better than 40% of the lineups in that contest. Like that's how weak that contest is. Problem is most of the equity is in first place. That's the only thing. But the same thing with any of the large field contests. If anything, you should be in the large field contests to determine a good signal on how strong or weak it is what percentage of the contest lineups are made from 150 max players. Now, I'm not a 150 max player, so like I may have 50 lineups in there and there may be very strong lineups, but you're not going to be able, who knows? You don't know this person. Someone put in 20 lineups. Are they good? Are they bad? I mean, you'd have to download every CSV and analyze everyone's lineups every single slate to see who's good and who's bad. But in general, from a signal standpoint, if you're playing a large field contest that has 30,000 entries, right? And let's say there are 30 players that 40 players, let's say, that are being in 150 entries, right? So that's 6,000 lineups. There's 30,000 entries total in it, right? So 6 divided by 30, right? That's 20% of the field. So 20% of the field are 150 maxes. If you go to another contest and it's like, oh, there's 10,000 entries in here, whatever it is, and you find that, oh, 40% of the field is 150 maxes. Like that would be a stronger contest. So you would define the weakest contests from a large field perspective, 150 max type perspective. You want to have contests the less and less that 150 maxers make up the field. That's why the slant in NFL is probably the sharpest large field contest in NFL. It used to not be. When they used to have field sizes, they used to have that contest sized at 50, 60, 70,000. And then have like maybe 25, 27% of the lineups were 150 maxers. Now that contest is only sized at like, at what, 25,000? But it's about the same amount of 150 maxers. So like we, in that contest, like 45% of entries are 150 maxers. So it's a quite a tough contest. The flea flicker is softer, right? Because it has 53,000. I think this week it has 53,000 entries for $5. And maybe on average is like 32% are 150 maxers. It's like, okay. But like I said, that's a signal. There are plenty of 150 maxers that come and go that aren't very good. They're putting in 150 bad lineups. So, you know, you'd have to analyze the contest individually. On the small field size, like, yeah, you're looking to find the weakest opponents. And most of the time, the higher stakes you go, the smaller fields you go, those are very strong fields, right? If you're going to play, you know, 400 man, whatever, $800, $888 or whatever they offer, you're going to be competing against very good lineups. On average, there may be some, I mean, obviously, you know, maybe 5-10% or, you know, people throwing their money away, right, in the long run. But for the most part, like 90% of the field, you're playing against really good players. High projection, high leverage, good combinations, good correlation, everything. They're analyzing stuff for that exact contest field. Of course, you also get plenty of like kind of the high stakes cash type players that just throw their lineup into everything. So that adds some extra edge for you. If you're, there are plenty of lineups like that. There's, well, I'm playing one lineup in everything. They don't care about field size or anything like that. You could extract edge from that. But in general, those contests have much stronger players. Doesn't mean you can't win those. Doesn't mean you can't be profitable in those. But me personally, I don't need to play at the best poker table. I don't need to be the seventh best player at a nine. That I don't need to be the fifth best player at a poker table of 10 people, right? Just because it's like three times, four times higher in stakes. Like, I'd just rather be the first or second best at a lower stakes table where I could just like easily rack up the money in the long run. I may not make as much money, but I also, do I have to like outplay someone that half the table is better than me? No, I straightforward. Just build good lineups. There you go. Long run. Wait for a bink. It'll happen. Because there's plenty of bad players in here. T-Mac, can you explain how you know that what lineups are plus EV in DFS? Price Picks seems very black and white to me, but I struggle with the DFS concept. That's because there's 800 different variables in DFS, and they all move with each other. If you knew the exact lineups in a contest, you knew the exact lineups, you can run a simulation of the contest and determine in every simulation with the prize structure which lineups win and which lineups lose, right? You could run a simulation using correlation matrix, right? So you're running the Monte, even if it's just Monte Carlo sims of all the players with the correlation matrix, like you could run that. If you knew all the lineups, because, I mean, that's what ownership is. The ownership is projected, right? Right now, which is, he's projected to be 14% owned. But that doesn't say what lineups he's in, right? That doesn't say anything. It's just like, okay, that's a very broad sense of, you know, how much relative value are you able to get out of that player, depending on how many points you share with others. But that's very broad because you're projecting that. You're estimating that. What lineups is he being played in? It doesn't say that in the projections. So you would have to create, for instance, and this is what a lot of top people do. They do contest sims and they create a representative field. Oh, they're playing the Millie. It's hard. And let me tell you, to simulate that for the Millie Maker, it takes a lot of time. So even for a smaller field contest, it's like, okay, well, I'll make the 400 lineups that I think are going to be in this contest based on these ownership projections and the strength of the field. Then I'll make the representative set of 400 and then run the 400 lineups and simulate the simulate out the players and the contest 10,000 times. Then you take each lineup and you divide it by 10,000. I mean, then you know what's the highest ROI lineups? What's the standard deviation of each lineup? Right? The ROI could be like, oh, this lineup has an 8% ROI, but like it never wins first. Just cashes a lot more than often than it could be 8%. And then there's some lineups that are, oh, this lineup has a 32% ROI. Because in 10,000 sims, it happened to win twice. And then in a lot of other sims, it was in dead last. Right? So that would be a standard deviation thing also. That's how you would technically, that's the precise way of doing so. Right? That's a blunt method. But if you had the actual lineups, if you, once everything locks, once the slate is over, many top players will literally take, because now we know all the lineups, take all the lineups, including theirs, and then run the sims and go, what users, what lineups had the highest ROI? The highest expected ROI, right? Not on just one slate. And then backtest their own process based on that. Like, that is the technical way of doing so. Bluntly, you have to determine that for yourself. We use stuff like median projection sum, ownership product, the balance of projection, correlation, and leverage. That's blunt methodologies. If you played the Millie Maker and you put in your, you played every player that was 30 plus percent owned, like basically a double up lineup, that's a negative EV lineup in the Millie Maker. In a double up, it's not, but in the Millie Maker, it is. It may cash more often, but since most of the equity is top heavy and in top spots, the top spot one, probably negative EV. A lineup that projects 90 points lower than that is probably also negative EV. Because it's just like, how often does, yeah, I'm going to play nine spots and six of them are going to be the fourth running back on the team and the backup quarterback. Like, is it, how often does that one? Right, it's projected too low. So you need to find a balance between the two. And correlation adds to the projection. If the quarterback does well and the wide receiver does well, they probably do well together. So you're taking those three elements. It's not like Prize Picks. We have the numbers. Like, you're comparing actual numbers. Sports betting, for instance, is like 50 to 100 times easier than DFS. Or poker. Poker's 500 times easier. Because you have fixed probabilities. Like, there's only so many cards in the deck. There's 52 cards. We know what they are. We know what we've seen. How often does this hand beat that hand based on what we've seen? Well, that. There's no such thing as, well, in today's deck, maybe there's 15 clubs. Or maybe in today's deck, there are no queens. Like, that's what happens in DFS, right? And every hand has a salary. It's like, oh, well, aces are no good if you have to spend, if it costs you 12,000 for an ace, this. But this queen is underpriced. I mean, there's just so many more variables in DFS than there are in games like poker or even in sports betting. And without some type of precise methodology that you're doing some type of advanced computer programming, you have to rely on blunt methodologies. So yes, there's a technical way of doing so, because you're not gonna be able to do that in your head, because these aren't fixed probabilities. Like, we could project, we could say today that Russell Wilson, we have a projection of 18.54. That's just the median. That's just the 50th percentile. What does his distribution look like? How often does he have? Like, it's not like, oh, how many clubs are left in the deck? This, oh, eight. And how many cards have we not seen? Well, 45. So divide the two. Okay. It's a 5.5-to-1 shot. Like, you can't do that in DFS. Poker has fixed probabilities. Sports betting has fixed probabilities also. Because you're just comparing, like, the distribution of one player to a line that at the moment didn't move, right? You're looking at A.J. Dillon, 53.5, and you're going, based on simulating A.J. Dillon's performances and regressing and doing all the fancy stuff, how often does A.J. Dillon beat, you know, what is his 50th percentile outcome? You go, his 50th percentile outcome is 58. And you go, well, is it worthwhile to now, it's a plus EV to bet over 53.5. You don't have to concern yourself with what other people have. And you don't have to put together nine players in a lineup. And then consider what other people are going to do also. Like, it's just one-to-one. That's why it's not that hard to beat the books. It's not hard to beat the market in sports betting. The hard part is getting the money. They're getting enough substantial money now for it to be worth to do it, right? So if you're betting, if you're doing $50-$100 a week in sports betting, there's no reason why you should be profitable, especially in props. In DFS, you're competing. There's so many more variables. And without knowing precise numbers, like even in a showdown contest, if like someone's ownership is off by 5%, that could change your dupe calculation from, oh, I think this lineup is going to be duped three times to this lineup is duped 22 times. Like just like that. That's for minor discrepancies. And you're making a calculation, and that's a blunt methodology also. So you have to weigh all these variables in some way and do it bluntly. And if you get the theory of daily fantasy sports for advanced players, I teach you how to do this, right? I teach it on this show. I mean, if you want to watch all these shows, you'll get the same information. But if you want nice, wrapped up, structured in 10 chapters and come with, exclusive Excel tools for you to do this quicker, just go to theoryofdfs.com. Go pick it up. But like I said, you don't even have to. I mean, obviously, you need to download this. You need to buy this to get the Excel tools. But all the concepts are in here. If you could go back, you could go back. I've been doing the show for almost 3 years. Go back to the first one. You could listen to all. If you don't want to spend the money, feel free to spend the 800 hours. Like, all of it is in there. I've repeated myself plenty of times. Let's see. JWH, is there a way to quantify the odds differential between, say, over 50 yards and over 60 yards? In spread betting, you could add points and the odds shift as a result, but no way to do so with props. Well, you'd have to see what the distribution of that player for that stat is. It may not be the same for different players. Understand, picture a slot receiver and picture a slot receiver with an A dot of 3. And an outside receiver with an A dot of 12. Their distributions would be different. Okay? The slot receiver, if their yardage moves, right, 5 yards to them, it's one reception. Right? One reception for that doesn't have a high target share and is a 12 A dot is much higher. Right, just think the common sense. I mean, you could do this mathematically. I mean, that's what you should be doing it mathematically. But think in terms of if there's a receiver on a team that averages only getting 2 targets a game and averages 15 yards per target. Averages. That's the average. So if I set the line, right, if the median line was 30 yards, right, because the average... We have to expect the median is two receptions for 30 yards. And I set the line at 30. What's the difference between the line being at 30 and the line being at 31 for that receiver? 32 for that receiver. How much does the extra 2 yards? It's basically how far was the 2 passes that he got, right? He's only going to get 2 passes anyway, most likely. If he gets a third one, he probably beats out 30 by 10 yards. So the difference between 30 and 32 for that receiver's distribution is not that dramatic. He's only going to get two receptions. Just depending on and how long those receptions are. Let's say it's a slot receiver that has an A dot of 5. Same prop, the 30 yards on... What, 6 receptions for 30 yards? If that moves a yard, that means much, much more to that type of receiver, right? Because he's going to see a lot more, he's going to get a lot more receptions. You get some 7-yard receptions instead of 5-yard receptions, very easy to beat 30 versus 31 versus 32. If it moves 10 yards, he needs two more receptions. Well, that's too far now. But for the other person that has a much higher ADOT, going from 30 to 35 isn't that as dramatic of a difference as you think, compared to going to 30 to 35 for the slot receivers distribution, because they have different distributions, okay? So it depends on the distribution of the stat. Well, how do I make the formula whatever? I don't have a formula for that. Like I say, I do things using blunt methodologies. And I'm playing on a site, so I'm not betting like sportsbook props. I'm in Kentucky. I can't do that legally. That need a 58% win probability. So if you're sitting there going, I'm not sure if this is low, I'm not sure this is high enough, then it isn't. Okay? You need a 58% implied win probability, which means it has to be significantly off. It has to be significantly off. So I don't have to worry about a formula. You know why? Because if I see that the blitz says someone has a median outcome of 67 yards and their prop is 20, why do I have to make the obviously it's good. The blitz's mean projection is 3.5 times higher than the prop. Do I have to? Well, maybe I need to look. Why do I have to look at anything anymore? If you notice, look how many props PrizePicks has. 99% of them are bad. 99% of them. And the 1% that are good will disappear very quickly. Okay? You have to find them. It's a treasure hunt. And also, you have to realize that if you find them and then 3 days go by and nothing has moved, you have to consider that maybe the projections are a little overestimating some stuff, at least compared to the market, right? So when people ask, it's like, well, is 10 yards good enough for this? It's like, did you, and I'll say to them, I said, I want you to look at the blitz projections, and then I want you to look at the Prize Picks numbers. I go, have you ever looked at the blitz projections and the Prize Picks number and go and thought that like something, you had to ask a question and go, are you sure that the projection is right? If you're doing that, that means that then you're hammering it, okay? That's how big of a discrepancy you need, okay? If you have any doubt, then you shouldn't be betting on it, okay? It should be so obvious to you, right? You're looking down and you go, maybe I should bet the McCaffrey over 50.5, being that the blitz have him, like 25 yards higher than that? Seems good to me. That seems like a big enough discrepancy to me, right? But I don't look at this. I don't look at like, you know, Rashad Penny, 55.5, and the blitz has him at 58. Is that enough? No, obviously it's not enough. Is 62 enough? No, it's obviously, it's a, most likely not. 7 yards enough? No. Did you look at the prop and go, wow, the blitz has him at 90? Over. Like, obviously it doesn't have it at 90. Like, that's what your reaction should be. Because you need a 58% implied win probability for a Prize Picks, an underdog, on average. So it's not like you're betting minus 110s on a... It's not like, oh, the line is 55 on Rashad Penny and Ivan projected for 59 and it's a minus 105 bet. Like, you could find 1% to 2%. Then you could bet on more props like that on a straight sports book. But these are fixed parlays, which means they have to be significantly enough off. So what's the signal? What's the blunt signal that they're significantly enough off? That you're doing a double take? That they're off enough where they're like, what? Did they put it? Did someone at PrizePicks put a? Was there a typo? Did they put in the wrong player's projection? If you're not having that reaction, then you shouldn't be betting on it. Now, are you able to understand the distributions of the players? Then you could judge it a little bit easier. Do you have to take their? Do you have to sim out stuff and do Monte Carlos and then throw it in a Poisson distribution or something. They don't have to do any of that. Not for Prize Picks, at least. They should be far enough off that, bluntly, maybe you get some wrong. Then they weren't as far off as they should be. But for the most run, you should have a double. You should what? Why? Should look and go, well, this rushing prop is 25 yards off. This receiving prop, the Blitz has this guy at 47 yards. And the prop is 20. That seems like a lot. Well, then you take it. But there you go. This isn't complicated. People overcomplicate this stuff. That's what you should be betting on anyway. Not the difference of 3 yards here and there. No, the VIG is too high for you to do that. JWH clarifies on the tennis stuff. Tennis scoring is probably even more bimodal than MMA. The in-match scoring is not directly correlated to winning or losing, like strikes, takedowns, and MMA, is almost non-existent. Okay. Matt Mears, if there are any significant upgrades to the tools in the works. I mean, you'd have to talk to James. Nothing I've specifically discussed with him. You can get those tools, theoryofdfs.com, Theory of Daily Fantasy Sports for Advanced Players. How to apply profitable DFS strategies. 6 hours of audio, 10 chapters. You get 7 Excel tools that you could use to do stuff quicker and more accurate. You use that alongside a lineup builder tool like Lineup HQ. JWH, does your point on weakest contests from a large field perspective exclude the contests you can't play? Yeah. Obviously, I can't play the mini maxes. I can't play the quarter arcade. I guess those are the weakest contests, I guess? I guess those are the weaker contests. But of course, Millie Maker is a special breed because there's tons of, you know, it's promoted very heavily. You get a lot of casual participation in that also. But yes, the lower stakes. Obviously, so I can't play the low stakes. You know, there's probably 400, 500 people that can't play the low stakes that make very good lineups. So, like, obviously those contests will be weaker. Because I'm not saying everyone is bad in the low stakes, but at least by eliminating the top 400 players from building 150 lineups and throwing them in. If I was allowed to play the quarter arcade, I'd throw an arcade. Why wouldn't I? Yeah, I made $1,000. But I mean, I'm already playing more than that anyway, but there's no opportunity cost for doing so. I can build 100 lineups and throw them into everything. It's not like poker. I can't play on 14 tables at once live. You can do that online. But still, you have to make real-time decisions even if you're playing online poker. DFS doesn't work that way. Once I upload the lineups and it locks and there's no late swap or something, like, I'm done. There's nothing. Doesn't matter how many lineups. I can handle that. Cano is dead. Can you show the formula to calculate two players' cumulative ownership in a tourney? Is 15% 0.15 or... Yes, it should be 0.15. If you're multiplying them together, yeah. That's what you should be using. But it's like 15 plus 15 is 30. Right? I mean, like... Right? You add 11 plus 10 plus 42 plus 34 plus 46 plus 50 is what? 196.81 of cumulative ownership, total ownership sum. You just add them. If you were going to multiply them together, get ownership product, you'd do 0.1175 times 0.1098 times 0.4245. I didn't realize we were going to do how to add numbers today. I don't know. How to multiply numbers? We get the real basics. All right, 2 plus 2, 4. Multiplication table. Are we doing multiplication tables also? 7 times 8, 56, right? And we got the chat 69 in there. Okay. These spam bots are getting out of control. Okay, give me those dummy thumbs on your way out the door. Tomorrow we'll have a, you know, casual Friday. Probably talk about the Sunday NFL slate, right? Today is kind of like, we got showdown tonight. We got a showdown show, 7:30 Eastern. right? Because there's no MLB. There's no MLB show, right? We got nothing. We got the NFL pre-lock show later today. So tune into that. There's a ton of premium content coming out. I got the Game Theory show, the NFL Game Theory show that comes out tomorrow afternoon. I record that with Tuttle. They're doing the pregame show. We'll talk about the main slate a bit. I always have my RG Discord channel, right? So sign up to Roto Grinders. It's a premium channel. Click on that link in the description. Get $10 off your first month. Join me in the Blender's Game Theory channel. You can ask me anything there anytime you want, right? That's instead of DMing me on Twitter or whatever, like that's the place that that's where you post your stuff. And two or three times a month, I do Zoom coaching sessions, right? You know, we go on audio video. I walk you through anything, answer anything you want, hang out. We don't record anything for that either. You could say whatever the hell you want. So join me. Join me there. JWH, do you have poker content anywhere? No. There's tons of good poker content. There's no reason for me to make poker content. There's tons of, and also, when I played poker professionally, it was like 2004 to 2008. A lot about poker has changed even since then. From a high level perspective, you could still go to your local card room. If you read the 2+2 books, right, from the 90s and the 2000s, you could still go to your local card room and be perfectly fine, right? You don't have to worry about GTO play. Trust me, you don't. I've played here at the Horseshoe over the river in Indiana, right? I played in those games. Like you don't need to study solvers to beat those games. You don't. Trust me, you don't. Right? They're a little bit better than they were back in 2004, 2003. A little bit better, but still no one's playing, the average player isn't playing that advanced anymore. Oh, Mike B says, ever use a dupe predictor, it says under 5 and it's duped 330 times. Yeah, that happens. Yeah, that absolutely happens. You have to have the ownership right, right? If you're off on the ownership, it could dramatically affect stuff. Like the other day, I'd cup captain ownership too low, and it was already high. Like I had Cooper Cup captain at 28%, and it turned out to be like 35%. I had the 49ers defense at 13%, and they came in at 22%. Okay? One, and I had a lot of both, which means all those lineups went from under fives to over 20s immediately. Now, those lineups did well, but I'm not looking to play lineups that are duped over 20 times. But that's based on the ownership numbers, right? I'm off on ownership. That's what's going to affect that. So it's not just the ownership from the, because I adjust my own ownership, right? I'm like, okay, not many people are going to play this, but everyone was off, right? Around the industry. Oh, yeah, Cooper Kupp is going to be the most high-owned captain. He's at 28, 30. Comes in at 35, right? Oh, the defenses aren't going to be as owned, right? The Rams, 18, 49ers, 13, and came in, you know, Rams 21, 49ers 22. It's like, if you don't have the right ownership in there, you're not going to be able to calculate dupes very well. Especially in showdown. There's one player's ownership will dramatically affect the other player's ownership because there aren't that many players in the player pool. In a main slate, it won't have as much of an effect because, oh, this guy's instead of 9%, he's 12%. Well, where did that 3% go? Well, kind of like drips and drabs to everyone else. The showdown contest, like the 3% goes directly to someone else. There's only, you know, you only got like 20 people that you can roster, right? It's going to go immediately to someone else. It's not going to go to some guy that, oh, they go from 0.2% owned to 0.4% owned. Oh, it doesn't really matter. Okay, so I'll see you guys tomorrow. Hit that thumbs up button. You know how much it helps out, right? Hit the subscribe button if you're new here. Go subscribe to the Scores and Odds channel for the betting content. Grant's going long. Right, he doesn't have the turd bombs anymore, I think, with the baseball. Maybe he's doing that for the playoffs also. I don't know. Go check it out. See what's happening. Right, Will's over there with some prop stuff, some monkey knife fight, whatever. Right, we got tons of stuff. The Blitz release show comes out later today, I believe, on Thursday. Right, we got stuff. The Solo Ship GPP show, a lot of stuff. So subscribe, hit that notification bell, and then I'll be back tomorrow. I'm here for you guys, always. Monday through Friday, 11 o'clock Eastern. answering your DFS strategy questions like I normally do on the DFS pregame show on RotoGrinders.com.